Going to ask that you would turn there with me, Samuel, the first chapter and the very first verse. If you need a Bible, our ushers are coming. Anyone needing a Bible, feel free to grab one. We have them. If you have your phone and you're pulling up a Bible app, that's a great way to do it as well. Again, the very first chapter. In the first book of Samuel, there's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, chapter 1. We're going to add to the witness this morning out of Psalms 127th Psalm. I'm going to ask if you would turn there as well. The 127th Psalm. As you're turning to there, we want to thank God for our candidates for water baptism this afternoon. Our brother John Mitchell, we thank God for him, a young man just entering the ninth grade. He's the candidate for water baptism. Our sister Teresa Williams, amen, a candidate for water baptism. Is there a third or is it just the two? And Sister Sharon, amen, God bless you. Let's give our water baptism candidates a hand, amen. Let's thank God for their confession of faith, hallelujah, and their decision to have water baptism. Hey, if you have 1 Samuel, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to read out of the Word of God. 1 Samuel, that very first chapter. If you have it, I'm going to invite you to stand, and then we'll flip over and reread. We will read out of Psalms. Amen. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. And he was the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were also there. Verse 4, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peniah, his wife, and to her sons, and to her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely. She did so in order to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and would not eat. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And now Eli the priest was sitting by the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And when she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 12, and so it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice had not been heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And so Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine and your special drink. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. But do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Verse 19, then she rose early in the morning. They rose early in the morning. They worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. And then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And then they slaughtered a bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition of which I asked him. Therefore I also have lent him, your translation may say, given him to the Lord. And as long as he lives, he shall be lent or given to the Lord. And so they worshiped the Lord there. Amen. And I'm just going to paraphrase out of Psalms 127 in the interest of time. I won't read it, but it causes us to understand that children are a gift from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. How many people know you don't buy a gift for just anybody? And when you buy a gift, tell me if I'm right about this. You buy a specific gift, right? Watch this. Let's look at it the other way. How many have ever gotten a gift and you can tell they didn't put no thought in it? I'm a double X and they give me a medium. You might as well kept that. Because that you weren't really trying to bless me, because if you were, you would have given something that was unique and just for me. Follow what I'm saying? And that's how God chooses parents. When he looks at the makeup, the design, and the plan he has for this child, that child, and this child, he chooses parents that have unique qualifications. You may not realize it, but I'm preaching already. You, in spite of how it may have happened in your life, it was by God's design. That's why I didn't get your baby and why you didn't get my baby, because God chose us and equipped us with unique skills that were going to be needed in the life of that child. Am I right about it? My subject today, and then we're going to pray and be seated, is give them back to God. Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to study and to come around the Word of God. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we may hear not my voice, but the voice of the Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. When children are born, one of the things which consumes us as parents, grandparents, godparents, aunts, and uncles, one of the things that consumes our time is what gift we will give to our kids. And if you got kids like mine, they shortcut the process. They say, Dad, you ain't even got to think about it. I already went on Amazon, and it's waiting in your takeout basket. I just need your credit card, and we down the road. All right, y'all don't have kids like mine. All right, that's all right. That's all right. You keep living. They're going to tell you one day. But we often, we look at their Christmas. What are we going to get them for Christmas? What do we get them for this birthday? And with my wife, every birthday is a special birthday. I thought it was just 1, 16, and 21. Now 9 is special. What are you? You didn't do nothing at 9. Why you got to get a special gift at 9? And for the life of me, you heard me say, this is the last time I'm going to say it. I'm going to get it out of my spirit. Kindergarten graduation. I'm done with it. I'm done with you. I'm finished. I'm not saying another word. I'm done with it. Kindergarten, I mean gown, cap, tassel, I mean the whole 9 yards. And because of that, you got to go out and get a special gift. Somebody say, Lord, help us. But here it is. Here's my message right here. I'm going to give it to you from the beginning. What I want to do with today's message is change our perception from considering what we will give to our kids to one that says, to whom will we give our kids? Because watch this. As parents, we all know, grandparents got a different opinion on this, but as parents, we all know what? At some point, they what? They got to leave. Now, grandparents got a different perspective because we didn't. Well, whatever, that's not everybody. All right, this message ain't for everybody, obviously. But some of us stayed in mama's house too long. Am I right about it? Mama and them were ready for you to go a long time ago, but because you were trying to get yourself together. But the reality is that no matter how cute they are now, how handsome they are now, no matter how pretty they look in their dress, at some point they are going to grow up and leave your house. Am I right about it? Ask your neighbor, whose house are you sending them to? Are you ready? Now, there was a certain man of Ramathia Zophim. His name was Elkanah. And he had 2 wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. And it says of Peninnah, she had children. You read the text further, she didn't have one kid. She had multiple children. The Bible says she had sons and daughters, right? But Hannah had no children. So the one woman is fruitful, but the other one is barren. And to make matters worse, not only was she barren, but the text says that when it came a time to go up to Shiloh to worship, 2018, go to church, when it came time to go to church, the other wife, Peninnah, would ridicule and make fun of Hannah because she had no kids. She would go up behind Elkanah and say, come on, boys, come on, girls, let's get behind your dad so we can offer our offering. But Hannah had no sons. Hannah had no daughters that she could bring up behind Elkanah. And if that wasn't bad enough, Peninnah was making fun of her. Am I right about it? And she was making fun of her, but the Bible tells us that the reason Hannah was barren was by God's design. Help me preach. Look at somebody and just tell them, it's by God's design. We like to believe that our blessings are by God's design. And that is true. But I just want to help you as your preacher this Sunday is to understand that some of our problems, I wish I had a real church, are by God's design. Even if God didn't do it himself, sometimes he will allow it to happen. But all of it is by God's design. If I'm right about it, say amen. So she's barren. They go up to worship. Even though she has no sons or daughters, Elkanah loved her. I think it may even be safe to say he loved her more than he did Peninnah.
And I got proof on it because the Bible said when it came to Hannah, he always gave her a double portion. That means he gave her more than anyone else. Why? Because he loved her. And so there they are, year by year, going up. And every year, here we are, Peninnah making fun, provoking, teasing Hannah because she was barren. And it was so bad, the text says in verse 7, that therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. When they went up to Shiloh for the annual feast, it was a time of joy and celebration. It was church at Christmas time. It was church at Easter time. Those are big Sunday, big days. Everybody's dressed up. Everybody's happy. That's how it was to be for Hannah going up to the feast. But because she was barren and because Peninnah made fun of her, this big church day was the worst day of her life. Because Peninnah would rub it in her face. She would have all of her sons there behind, all of her daughters coming up behind their father. But Hannah had no one to walk out of her bloodline. And it's one thing to have a public problem. See, barrenness is a public problem because as a woman, I got women here, you know, the longer you live, they keep looking and asking, what we going to do? All right, I'll leave the women alone. I don't want the women to jump me after service. But you know how it is being a woman. As you get up in age, they want to know, when are you getting married? And you're not even married a week yet. When are y'all going to? All right. Why y'all not helping me? I don't know, Sister Lillian. But that's all right. She not only had a public problem, she had a public ridicule because everybody in the church knew that Hannah was barren. They could see Peninnah's sons. They could see Peninnah's daughter. And then sitting in the back would be Hannah all by herself. But that's all right because what? It's all by what? God's design. Verse 8, then Elkanah said to her, Elkanah said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat all of this food, all of this celebration? Why aren't you eating? Why aren't you happy? He said, why is your heart grieved? And he says these words. He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? The point he was trying to make to Hannah, he says, you know what, Hannah? I see and I understand. And as a result, I go out of my way to bless you. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm better to you than 10. So I give you above and beyond what I do for anybody else. Peninnah, her sons, her daughters, I bless you more. That's what he's saying. How many men can relate to what he's saying? Now watch this. Women, I need your help here. He said, I'm better to you than anyone else. But Hannah, in her mind, knew that Elkanah could not understand her pain. Right? Come on, wives, girlfriends, help me. Have you ever told them something? And while you're telling us, you can look at our face and tell we just don't understand. Watch, men, this is where we lose it. Men, when do we always lose it? When we what? Open our mouth. We would get so much further, Paul, if we just didn't say nothing. But the moment we open our mouth, look, her face go like this. First, she was looking at your face and could understand, could see you didn't understand. But the moment you start talking, she really knows, this guy don't even know what I'm talking about. And let me help you women. Let me help you men. Women, listen, we can't. I bet your preacher never told you that. We like to make you think we know everything, but the reality is we don't. Let all the men in the church say, that's one of the biggest lies going. We're trying to convince our girlfriends and our women we know everything, but we don't. And we know even less when it comes to the female gender. So Hannah, though Elkanah loved Hannah, Elkanah was ill-equipped to understand Hannah. And that made the problem even worse for Hannah. I got a second wife who's ridiculing me. I got a husband who loves me. But what the rap song say, he just don't understand. He loves me. He gives me a double portion, but he can't relate to what I'm going through. He can't relate to what I feel or don't feel in my body. He hears what I'm saying, but he can't understand, nor can he feel like I feel. He can't understand it the way I'm trying to describe it. And like I said, women, you got to understand, we just can't. Tell your neighbor and say, we just can't understand. And here's the truth. Let me give it to you. All right, here it is. I got it in my notes. There are some voids that only God can fill. I need more people saying amen to that. There are some voids in our lives as men and women that only God can fill. So we stay up late at night with you trying to get me to understand how you feel. I come home trying to get you to understand how I feel and what I'm going through. And at the end of the night, we both go to bed frustrated. Why? We just don't understand. And we don't because there are some voids that only God can fill. Am I right about it? Verse 9, Hannah arose. They had finished eating in Shiloh. And now the Eli the priest was sitting by the doorpost. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made this vow. She said, O Lord of hosts, if you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give me a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come to his head. She's in Shiloh. It's Christmas time. It's Easter time. Everybody's down at the church having a great time, eating, singing, looking at each other's dress, looking at what they got for Christmas, having a great old time. And in the middle of all of this, Hannah sneaks out. And we understand why. She sneaks out. Why? She doesn't belong. They're all there because they're happy. Hannah's not happy. They're all there with their kids and grandkids. Hannah has neither. And so while they're all celebrating the Lord in Shiloh, Hannah sneaks out. And Hannah goes down to the tabernacle. And the text says she prays with anguish out of her soul. And so my point to you this is that sometimes the only place you can go and the only person you can tell is God. Can I get a witness in my church? I'm halfway done, but if you help me, I'll finish. Sometimes the only place she couldn't go to the feast. She couldn't go to where the reception was. Why? She didn't fit in. She couldn't go back home. Why? Her husband wasn't ready to go. So here she is, out of place. She don't fit in here. She's unable to go there. Where do you go when you are frustrated? Where do you go when you can't find an answer? And I'm here to tell you as your preacher, sometimes the only place you can go is to God. The Bible said, when my spirit is overwhelmed, I go to the rock that is higher than I. I can't tell my husband. He don't understand anyway. I can't tell my girlfriends because all they're going to do is use it against me. Who do I tell? I don't have any kids I can tell. Go to the rock. Touch your neighbor and say, tell Jesus. You know what we used to sing in the old church, Mother? We used to say, I must tell Jesus. When I can't tell anybody else, when I can't trust anybody else, the songwriter said, I must tell Jesus. Jesus alone. He'll understand. Won't he do it? So here we are. She's here. And so verse 12, and now it happened. She was praying before the Lord, and Eli was watching her pray. And the text says, now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but not her voice. So Eli's there. He's watching this woman in the tabernacle. Everybody else is in the feast hall. Eli finishing his duty, his service as the high priest under God. Coming out of the tabernacle there in the back of the church, he sees a woman praying. Curious, intrigued by the sight, he lends his ears to see what is it she's praying about. But he doesn't hear anything. So he looks again and notices now her mouth is moving, but there is no sound. How many people have ever prayed and never said a word? How many of you have gotten into the presence of the Lord and you couldn't say a word, but tears started coming? I wish I had a real church. Come on, I need my real church this Sunday. Hannah was a real sister girl. She wanted to say something. She wanted to utter something. But so overcome with bitterness, so overcome with frustration, all she could do was open her mouth unto God. But nothing came out. No audible sound. No audible praise. No audible hallelujah. She stood in the house of the Lord. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. I can't say what I want to say. I can't do what I want to do. But here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Look what 1 Peter says. He said, cast all of your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Do I have any witnesses here this Sunday that can tell me that God cares for you when nobody else can care, will care, even cares to care? But God, he cares. But God, he cares. God cares for you. He cares about what you're going. Watch this. The Hebrew writer said it like this. We have a high priest. Look what he says. That can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. A lot of people get it wrong. They think he can be touched by our infirmities. God is God. He cannot be hurt like we can be hurt. But the Hebrew writer says he can feel the way we feel. Why, having been a man himself, he knows the human condition and is familiar with the human frailty. Touch your neighbor and say, God feels how you feel. Here it is. Here he is. Eli said, listen, go in peace. May God grant your position, your petition that you have asked of him. Verse 18. And so the Lord, so Hannah said to Eli, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went her way. She ate, and her face was no longer sad. Touch somebody and say, thank God for Jesus. Here it is. With just one word from the Lord, he began to turn. I wish I had a real church this Sunday. All Eli said, I don't know what you prayed about because I didn't hear nothing. But whatever you prayed for, I'm God's man on the scene. And he told me to tell you, go in peace.
whatever you ask of the Lord and believe, you shall receive. And with just one word, Hannah's situation began to turn around. Won't he do it? Can't God do it? Just one word from the Lord can turn. If I got any witnesses in the building this Sunday, you know God can turn it around. He's turned it around in your life. Help me praise the Lord by just standing and turning around. It's a sign to the devil. Look what the text said. She got up. She ate all week long. Elkanah couldn't get her to eat anything. But with just one word from the Lord, her joy started coming back. With just one word from the Lord, happiness started coming back to Sister Hannah. She got her appetite back. She got her joy back. Look what the text said. She got her smile back. I wish I had a real church, because a real church would bear witness. Sometimes you can't even fake it. Church folk are professional fakers. We can fake our way through anything and pass anybody. But Hannah couldn't fake it anymore. But when the Lord spoke to Hannah, joy came back. Happiness came back. Appetite came. Verse 19. Then they rose early in the morning. They worshiped the Lord. And then they got out of Dodge. And look what verse it says. Then Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. First he gave her a word, and then he sent his power behind his word. Let me help you. Elkanah had been knowing his wife. I wish I had a real church. I'm trying to keep it above water. Y'all got to help me, parents and grandparents. He had been knowing his wife from the day they were married. But by God's design, he did not allow any human conception to occur. But this Saturday, I wish I had a real church. This Saturday night, after they put the kids to bed and they put a little Luther Vandross on. I know y'all church folks, y'all don't listen to Luther anymore. But before you got saved, Luther, Anita, Sade, shall I continue? But the Lord remembered Hannah. And this time, let me give you a word on it. Psalms 105 and 8 says, he remembers his covenant for 1,000 generations. He remembers what he promised you. He said for 1,000 generations. Let me work this. Look at me. This is going to bless you. Do you know what that means? 1,000 generations. That if what God promised you, if he can't give it to you in your lifetime, this is where I wish I had a real church. God will give it to your children's children. Because your God and my God is eternal. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. And while you and I may pass off the scene, God is still sitting on his throne. And whatever he promised, he'll make sure. I got to get out of here. So it came to pass in the process of time, Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Watch this. Help me, women. How many women have ever prayed during their pregnancy? Raise your hand. Have you ever prayed during your pregnancy? And God remembered Hannah. Now, Hannah and his house, as they often do, they went up to the Lord for the yearly sacrifice. But Hannah, verse 22, did not go up. She said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there. First, she told Elkanah, I'm not going this time. Elkanah said, what are you talking about? We go every year. We always go for Christmas. We always go for Easter. We always go for Mother's Day. We always go for Father's Day. We always go for back to school. Now we've actually started going regular. What do you mean you're not going to church this time? Look what she said. She said, not until the child is weaned, then I'll take him. Because when I take him, I'm going to give him back to the Lord. So when I go up the next time, I'm going to come back with you, but not the child. Why? Because I made a vow unto the Lord. Are you with me? Here it is, verse 22. Elkanah's a cool dude. Watch him. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, guys, if I don't ever help you, you will not be able to say this Sunday the pastor didn't help me. Look, I'm not even going to help you. I'm going to let Elkanah help you. Look at what Elkanah said. He said, do what seems best to you. Amen. Guys, half our problems would be over if we just agree. You know what? That's a good idea. Let's do what you said. Let's go to the place you picked. You know what? Half our problems, right off the top, if you just agree. Elkanah agreed, said, do what seems best to you and wait until you've weaned them. But this is what I like about Elkanah, because when I said that, a lot of you guys looked at me, and in your spirit, you said, that's because Elkanah's a chump. That's why he listened to Hannah. He ain't got no backbone. He's not a real man. But I beg to differ. Look what the text says. He said, all right, do what seems best for you. Look what he says. Only let the Lord establish his word. I'm out of time, so let me just give it to you. He didn't agree with Hannah. What he did was agree with God. It just so happened that God spoke to Elkanah through the voice of his wife. Elkanah said, only let the Lord establish his word. He said, if God told you to do it, who am I to stand up against the voice of the Lord? And we need more men. Come on, guys, don't leave me out here. I'm out the pulpit now. It's just us. We need more husbands. We need more fathers, more grandfathers, more uncles, godfathers, stepfathers who will agree with the Lord. I don't know what to do, honey, but whatever God says to do, that's what we will do. I heard Joshua say, as for me and my house, we will. Honey, either get with the program or get out of the way. But as for me, my house, my companion, my son, my daughter, we will. I'm finished with it. I'm finished. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together except they agree? The thing I want you to get out of that verse is that Elkanah and Hannah got in agreement. Oh, all the joy went out. The key to great parenting is not the daycare you send them to. It's not the private school you pull strings to get them into. It's not the tutoring program that you get a scholarship to send them to. The real key to great parenting is agreement. Nothing sets a house on edge like disagreement. Watch this. And your kids can smell it on you. They know when you and dad are at odds. And they'll use it against you. They'll find out which one is favoring them. And because there's no agreement at the parental level, they will unwittingly drive a wedge. And now a father is trying to raise them his way. And mama is trying to raise her their way. And no one cares about God's way. Because there's no agreement, we're each going to do it the way we want. Look at me. That's not the key to great parenting. That's the key for great destruction. Your marriage is going to be destroyed. Your kids are going to be scarred for life. Because you and Hannah couldn't come into agreement. And this is what I want you to understand. The agreement is not your way or my way. The agreement is to do it God's way. If you got it, say, I got it. Good, I'm finished with it. I'm finished with it. If you got it, I'm done. I got 3 minutes. Here it is. Here it is. Walk together. Be in agreement. Here's my notes, and I'm finished. Here it is. I want to give you, I told you that was the key. Now I want to give you three things, three important things for proper parenting. Here it is. They got me up on the big board. Three things, all found in that 24th verse. Here it is. Now when she weaned him, she took him up with her. Three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Here it is. I got to rush through it because I'm out of time. The first thing I want you to understand in proper parenting, she took him up with her. Touch your neighbor and tell him, bring him with you. Gone are the days of sending them to church. That became in vogue in the last decade and a half. No, Pastor, I'm not coming, but I'm sending little Jimmy on the church van. No, Pastor, I won't be there this Sunday, but I put Abigail on the church bus, and she'll be there for a while. But gone are the days. Because if you do it that way, you're not setting the proper example. Hannah said, if my son is going to have any chance of living for God, I got to not only send him to the house, I got to bring him to the house. I got to have Junior see me coming in the church door. I got to have my daughter hands. I gotta have my niece see me giving God the praise, and my hard-headed, stingy son has got to see me give an offering every Sunday so that they will know you gotta bring an offering unto the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, bring them with you. Here's the second point. Not only do you got to bring them with you, you got to bring an offering. You got to bring an offering. Let me give you this quick point. She bought three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine. When you study the text out, she brought three times as much was required. The requirement, one child, one bull. That's Jewish law. One child, male child, you bring one bull and you offer him at the gate of the tabernacle. But when Hannah came, she was so grateful that the Lord had blessed her. She didn't bring one bull. Two bulls wasn't enough. But she brought three bulls as a sign of her praise unto God. Touch your neighbor and say, bring an offering. Look, and then it closes in 24 by saying this, and the child was young. All right, I want you to help me now. If you don't start when they're young, you'll send them to me when they're 12. If you don't start them when they're young, Pastor, can you meet with me and my son? He don't listen to me anymore. Pastor, will you meet with me and my daughter? She's out here fooling around with the wrong kind of boys. And I hate to tell you, you brought her just a little too late. When they were young, in impressionable when they had a heart to listen. That's when you should have brought them while they were still young, still willing to listen, still willing to go. Touch your neighbor and say, start them young. I'm finished. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. I know. Give me that one. I'm finished, Aaron. I know we got to go get them baptized. Touch your neighbor and say, get them in the water. That's what we got to do. I got to hurry. Here it is. I'm finished with this. So let me close by saying this. Before you spend countless hours trying to decide, what am I going to get him or what am I going to get her for Christmas? I want to close my message by saying, I want you to consider, what are you going to do to give them back to God? Here it is. Before you give your daughters an American Girl doll. I'm preaching. Ladies, y'all ought to help me. Before you give her an Easy Bake Ultimate Oven. Touch your neighbor and say, preach, pastor. Before you give her her first makeup kit, before you give her her first set of earrings, necklace, and bracelet. Come on, fellas, before you give your sons their first Lego set. Somebody say, preach on, pastor. Before you give your son their first fishing rod. Before you give him the first bike, before you buy him his first car, I want you to give him back to God. Here it is, church, because they're not yours anyway. They belong to the Lord. So find somebody in the church and say, give them back. Come on, find them. Say, give them back. Give your sons back. Give your daughters back. They're only on loan to you. Can God trust you to give them back to him? Can God trust you to train them in the way they ought to go? Can God trust you to live a proper example? Somebody say, give them back. That's how you do it. You give them back to God. They're not yours anyway. Hannah realized, I got a short amount of time. I've only got 3 years until he's weaned. And in that short amount of time, that's all we got. It used to be until they went off to school. That's 18. 70s and 80s, we realized they're gone by 16. You listen to the news like I do, you realize by 12, it's too late. If you don't give them back to God while they're still young, they will suffer irreparable damage. How do I prevent it, Pastor? How do I give my son the best chance at becoming what God wants him to become? You got to give him back. Hannah went back to the tabernacle. She said, hey, Eli, remember me? I'm the drunk woman. I'm the woman at the church everybody laughed at. And the ones that didn't laugh waited till I left and made fun of me behind my back. If I didn't have a son, if I didn't have a daughter to give to my husband, but I prayed to God, and God remembered me. Watch this. And Eli, I'm not crazy enough to assume I can raise him by myself. Watch this. I didn't get him by myself. If God had not touched my wound, I'd still be bitter. God never answered my prayer, I'd still be frustrated. I'd still be taking it out on my husband, and he don't even know why. And it was nothing he did. It is what God did. But he remembered me. He opened my wound, and he blessed me. And so now I'm going to give him back to God. It's the only chance I have. It's the only chance he has. And it's the only hope she'll ever have. That if I start young and give them back to God. Has anyone gotten anything out of this message? 1 point, 2 points, anything? We have a great responsibility to give our kids not Xboxes, PS4s, American girls. We got a responsibility to give them back to God and trust them back to his care. Let God show you how to parent them and how to raise them up. I want to pray. If you're here this Sunday and you are up under the weight of parenting, you may be in a marriage, you may have a companion, you may be a single parent, but I'm a witness with you, with parenting comes weight. And sometimes that weight feels like it can crush you. So if you're here, I don't want to pray you get a new job, new car, new house. I hope you do get it. But what I want to use the name of the Lord for is to build you up as a parent. I don't want to give you a book, a tape, a CD. I want to pray for you and with you that you become a better father. I want to pray with you that you become a better mother. And that over the course of time, we will begin to parent more like God's design and not our own. Mom, you know what?